word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. An unnamed lake in Kettleboro, New Hampshire, has an almost mythological pull on the characters in a new novel by Abby Maxwell. Bodies disappear into the ice, the broken-hearted float in the murky water. An infant is found abandoned in a tethered canoe.
In the cold and windy days after I was born, I was deposited into an old canoe on the big lake. I have recently discovered this. I like to think that my birth parents believed that this lake would hold me, keep me safe, but I don't see how that could possibly be true, for it turns out that I come from a long line of people swallowed by these waters. My name is Alice, and by the time I was born, unwanted, the belief that there were places in the lake where the floor of the world had either dropped out or was never put in, had settled itself deep into my blood. But the canoe wasn't floating freely. It was tied up in the boathouse where it would be found, just east of the Kettleboro Pier. Even in the days before I knew the story of my birth, I would stand on that pier in the evening, when the sky and the lake become indecipherable from each other, and look out 3 miles across the water to Bear Island, that faded place that I now know drew my ancestors in. In that light, it looks as though the island just floats, not within this life and not without it, but unattached and free.
That's Abby Maxwell, first-time novelist and part-time librarian from the New Hampshire Lakes region, reading from her debut novel, Lake People. She'll also be reading at Gibson's Bookstore in Concord on Thursday. And Abby, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Alice Thornton, the child found floating in the canoe, is kind of at the center of the book. What does she know of her origins, and what does she want to know?
Well, for much of the book, she doesn't know anything of her origins, but she certainly has a pull to the lake. And the reader knows why she has that pull, that her ancestors have come from the lake and have a kind of mythological connection to it. But she doesn't know. And she gets sort of clues as she's being raised and eventually finds out that she had been abandoned. And so I think she wants to know where she came from. But I also think she just wants to sort of find herself.
Yeah, it is a book about finding herself as she finds more about these stories. In fact, in the beginning of the book, just after the bit that you read, she says, if you lived in our town, you knew her story. And she was talking about this woman named Eleonora, a Swedish widow who brings her children out to an island in the center of the lake. Tell us a little bit more about this character.
Yeah, well, actually, there is a story about that character that was published in McSweeney's last year, and it's not in this book, but it comes before this book. And so in this book, there's a bit that says that she had committed some crime or some awful act, and because of that, she sort of was kind of paying her penance. And it doesn't say what it is. It only says in the book that people believed that she had done something. Mm-hmm. And if you read the story that came before this book, then you do find out what she had done. But she's just a woman who comes from Sweden. And I mean, it's told in a really mythological way, that mm-hmm. section of the book. So she comes from Sweden and just sort of impossibly gets this strength when she settles on this island. And she becomes a kind of legend in the town, but she's sad and alone.
And the lake is a character in the book, never named. I wonder why not. Why did you decide not to name it?
Well, at first I thought it was going to be Kettleboro Lake, but then I thought, well, this is this huge lake and there has to be other towns on it. But in my mind, only Kettleboro, the fictional town in the book, is on the lake. So I knew it couldn't be named after the town. And I don't know beyond that. It just seemed right, because I think that The lake is this timeless, impossible place, untouched by the outside world.
It's similar the way that Sweden goes unnamed, actually. We learn in the story of Signe, is that her name?
Signe. Yeah.
She's the maiden aunt character to this woman, young woman, Sophie. People never refer to Sweden by name either, but by gesture. How do they do?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I wrote a lot of this while I was living with my grandmother, who's 95 years old. And her family had come from Sweden, and I just listened to her stories, and the stories just sort of started to develop. Mm.
People say, refer to Sweden, they just sort of make a gesture like over their arm, you know, over their shoulder, like it's a place that just exists someplace else.
Yeah, I guess I sort of wrote that because it seemed so impossible to me to leave your homeland and know that you would never be going back there, not even to visit. And I thought, how do you even deal with that? And maybe you don't. Maybe you just the time gone by.
There is a lot of simmering, or maybe even not even simmering, just thwarted desire. Poor Signe, ashamed of her desire, she just wades out into the lake and floats. What is roiling under this lake?
That's a good question. I think, I don't know. I mean, when I was writing this, it was certainly inspired by Lake Winnipesaukee, although this lake in the book is so fictional. But as I was writing it, I started researching the lake and reading about stories in it. And there are just so many people who have died in the lake throughout the ages, and so many mysteries of the lake. And it just is this place that invites kind of myth and mystery. And to me, the vision of the lake is just this one of infinite beauty, but at the same time, it's such a deadly force. And so what's sort of under the lake? Maybe all of that.
We're talking with Abby Maxwell about her debut novel, Lake People. She grew up in the New Hampshire Lakes region, and it's the story primarily of a young woman trying to understand her origins and connection to this unnamed lake where a number of people have lost their lives. There are also towns, this town of Kettleboro, on the banks, the shore of the lake. You know, it's a town very much like a lot of New Hampshire small towns, I guess. That's the town where everybody knows what makes a good home and what makes a bad home. We have the hypocrisy of an upstanding citizen writing a letter to the editor to protest the photo of a woman nursing. This is right. Just days after pushing himself on a vulnerable woman. Is this things that you've observed, felt, heard in those stories from your grandmother and others?
Absolutely. My grandmother gave me such a sense of a time that I wouldn't have known about, or certainly wouldn't have had the courage to write about. And while I was living with her, she's just this brilliant, brilliant woman. And if our lawn wasn't kept, she would get very, you know, nervous. Mm. And it just made me think, you know, I think that was passed on from, I mean, like this 50s generation that she talked about quite a bit. And I thought, if we get so nervous about the lawn, what would happen if there were a baby and, you know, between this, the richest and the poorest? And how far could somebody's need for social acceptance be pushed?
Alice's lineage goes back to this fierce Eleonora, the woman who eked out a living on this island in the center of the lake. She was raised by very young parents. She does go to college. She's a ski champ, a lot of advantages. But Mary's kind of a sweet guy. But, you know, she never seems to choose deliberately in her life. She's kind of bobbing along for a lot of it. Yeah. So what makes her willing? What's this change? What makes her willing to sort of dive into this wreck and find out more about her family?
I think that's something that is passed down through her great-grandmother, her grandmother, her aunt, where they, all of them, just jump on any opportunity that might lead to some kind of beauty, and just sort of blindly and fearlessly, and not always for good. Mm.
And she has secrets of her own. Everybody keeps secrets in this town, it seems.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, we hear a lot of that New Hampshire talk, the sort of dialogue between people. In fact, your book has been praised. Comparisons have been made to you and Alice Munro for kind of getting that colloquial talk. Was that hard for you? I mean, you left New Hampshire for many years. Is that sort of natural to your ear?
It is. It is. I mean, I certainly came back to New Hampshire to finish my book. But, yeah, to me, it's just sort of the way people talk, absolutely. Mm. And when I actually read Alice Munro for the first time, I thought, this is the kind of person that I understand, or these are the stories that I understand. So
people are also sort of making you the literary inheritor of Grace Metellius and Peyton Place. What do you think of that comparison?
I'm just barely reading that book for the very first time right now.
Amazing.
So.
You've never read it?
No. And I've, you know, heard about it all my life, but no, had never read it.
Now, this is your first book published by Knopf, major publishing house in New York City. Fantastic reviews. So congratulations to you, first of all. But are you still working at the Guildford Public Library?
I am, very part-time, but I am still working there, and I love it there.
Well, there's a character in the book who's very good friends with Signe, who's a librarian.
Yeah.
What do you get to observe as a librarian in a small town?
Well, I think it just gives me a chance to be a part of the community. When you live in a small town, I don't think at least in my town, there aren't that many community outlets, and the library, to me, is really the center of it. So you get to know people, and I love that.
Abby Maxwell, author of Lake People, thank you for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
Abby's going to be reading at Gibson's Books in Concord on Thursday night. She's going to also be talking about the book, of course. Now, you can find details on that reading, reviews of the book, and more on Abby, who is assistant librarian at the Guildford Public Library. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org. Now, stay with us for a sweet goodbye to a roller rink. That's when Word of Mouth continues.